The foreign and domestic policy word of the day? Confrontational. It's the Business News Hour for Friday, the 31st day of May. Thanks, everybody, for clicking through again. Costco is the latest retailer to announce price increases. We'll tell you about that. Yesterday, we had a small business interview about guns and gun sales. You can find that on our podcast page. One of the topics was the slowdown of sales of firearms. Today, we've got more on that issue. Uber reported deep losses, I mean really deep. The collapse of a nursing home chain has ripples. FedEx has heard you, a new delivery is on the horizon, those stories. And because it's Friday, Jeff Bitts from City View Magazine is with us, talking about stuff to do in the metro this weekend into next week. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AUREON.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. The Business News is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to reach out to us on Twitter? Yeah, you can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter as well, at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Let's get into it. Lots to talk about today. There is a new word, it is said, to describe the U.S. foreign and domestic policy, and that word, according to analysts, is confrontational. The Dow, already in trouble this week due to lingering trade disputes with China, got bumped again today with new confrontational tariffs being talked about targeting Mexico. President Trump yesterday tweeted he would start to impose a new round of tariffs on Mexico of 5%, which, unless the Mexican government stops the flow of people seeking asylum in the U.S., would increase to 25% by October. The economic consequences of Trump's new plan could be swift and severe. Tariffs are paid by companies that import products, so U.S. firms would pay the import penalties and then pass those same costs on to you and I, the consumer. Mexico exported over $346 billion in goods to the U.S. last year, from vehicles to fruits to vegetables, and many manufactured items crosses the border several times as they're being assembled. White House officials did not immediately explain how driving up the cost of Mexican goods might stem the flow of migrants. If the tariffs damaged the Mexican economy, more of its citizens might just try to cross the border to find work in the United States. Consumers, should all of this happen, will most likely be impacted with higher food costs. Stay tuned. In a related story, Costco is joined with other retailers telling consumers that due to the tariffs, prices on many goods are headed up. Costco is just beginning to see the effect of the most recent tariff increases affecting goods like furniture, bikes, and luggage. In some instances, the warehouse giant is looking to source certain goods from other countries. The company said in an earnings call that they're going to their suppliers to see about reducing costs, and in some cases, Costco is reducing order commitments. That means less products on the shelves. The upside is the company is trying to find comparable items that are produced domestically, but added that the price of those items is also higher. Industry watchers have said that the trade battle could make items ranging from smartphones to clothing more expensive and also accelerate the shuttering of stores. Meanwhile, the warehouse retailer Costco said during its latest quarter, which ended on May 12th, it got a sales boost thanks to a customer purchasing one of its rings for, get this, we're not making it up, $400,000. Now, Costco didn't say exactly which ring was purchased, but a search on Costco's website reveals only one ring priced in the $400,000 range. Costco's website also shows 500 rings for sale, many costing more than $50,000. Costco said same-store sales were up by 5.6% in the latest quarter. That's excluding any effects from gasoline prices and currency fluctuations. And that was better than the 5.4% growth analysts were expecting. Well, this week, Dick's Sporting Goods reported better-than-expected first-quarter results, and the stock dropped by 5.9%. On Thursday, Sportsman's Warehouse missed first quarter revenue and income estimates, posting a 3.4% decline in revenue, while same-store sales were down over 5.5% year-over-year. Guns and ammunition got the blame for Sportsman's poor first quarter results. The company said the revenue decline was the result of, quote, difficult event-driven comparisons in the firearm and ammunition categories in the first quarter of fiscal year 2018, end quote. And that event was? Yeah, the Valentine's Day school shooting at Parkland, Florida High School that claimed the lives of 17 students and faculty members. One of dozens of mass shootings that have occurred since the one at Colorado's Columbine High School 10 years ago. Sales of guns and ammo soared in the weeks after the Florida shooting. Sportsman's posted a 9.3% year-over-year increase in the first quarter of 2018 ammo sales. Well, why the decline? Well, according to a December report from Pew Research, one reason could be that most gun owners already own all the guns they want. Nearly two-thirds, 66% of Americans who own a gun report they own more than one, and nearly 30% say they own more than five. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's 2016 election was expected to depress gun sales. NICS background check data spiked to nearly 28 million in 2016. That was the last year of the Obama administration and ahead of an expected Hillary Clinton administration. The threat of higher restrictions on gun purchases drove sales higher, but Trump's election removed that incentive. The duration of the Trump slump in gun sales has been longer than expected and shows little sign of ending anytime soon. Now, once again, we've got a detailed small business story about guns and gun sales up on our podcast page. Just Google Insight on Business, the News Hour, guns, and we should be right there. The upside of going public is that you can get a hefty infusion of cash from stock sales. The downside is you got to report. And that's the bad news for Uber. This week, Uber, in its first financial report since its lackluster debut on Wall Street, said its revenue rose to $3.1 billion in the first quarter. That's up 20% from the same time last year, and that did beat expectations of analysts. But the ride-hailing giant posted a $1 billion loss as it fights to maintain its share of the market. Uber, like its main U.S. competitor Lyft, has spent heavily on rider promotions and driver incentives to gain market share. That's one reason the companies have struggled to reach profitability. Both are dealing with intense competition, high costs to pay drivers, increased regulation by cities, and a long, uncertain road to the development of autonomous vehicles. Uber went public just 3 weeks ago, and its shares have been trading below its IPO price ever since. Its stock price closed at $39.80 on Thursday, down 12% from its IPO price of $45. In Uber's first day of trading, the company market value took a $617 million hit. That is the largest loss on the first day of trading by any U.S.-based company in recent history. And in case you've run out of stuff to worry about, here's a story about HUD and a little-known program for nursing homes. Back in 1959, the Department of Housing and Urban Development created a program to help ensure that Americans had access to affordable nursing homes by bankrolling the construction of new facilities. Over time, the program evolved, and it now provides financial guarantees on loans that banks make to elder care facilities. Now, by making the loans less risky for banks, lenders could charge lower interest rates, thus, in theory, reducing the fees that nursing homes needed to charge patients. The result now is that the agency manages a portfolio of loans that are at risk of going bad. HUD, and therefore taxpayers, could be on the hook for money-losing facilities around the United States, just as waves of aging baby boomers are likely to prompt a surge in America's nursing home population. Case in point is the collapse of the Illinois and Missouri chain of nursing homes called Rosewood Care Centers. The owners of Rosewood stopped making mortgage payments barely a year after buying it in 2013. Paperwork about the chain's finances was never filed with the government. Some money meant for the 13 nursing homes and assisted living facilities went to prop up another investment. In the end, the business defaulted last year on $146 million worth of government-backed mortgages. Now, while HUD says all of this is an outlier, the program does guarantee $20 billion in mortgages to more than 23 nursing homes, about 15% of the country's total. Most of those nursing homes, most of them, are private, for-profit enterprises. Well, FedEx has heard you. The company plans to deliver packages 7 days a week starting in January as it tries to keep up with the continuing boom in online shopping. The company is also taking back nearly $2 million daily deliveries to homes that are currently handled by the post office in a move that it says will increase the efficiency of its own network. It was just last September that FedEx expanded to 6 days a week for most of the year, although it had previously run on some Saturdays and Sundays around Christmas. Company officials said FedEx will add year-round Sunday service in urban and suburban areas that account for the bulk of U.S. population. Meanwhile, FedEx will stop using the post office for dropping off SmartPost packages at customers' houses. SmartPost is a long-time deal between FedEx and the post office where FedEx ships packages most of the way, but the post office delivers it to your door. The postal system declined to disclose how much revenue it earns from SmartPost. It said in financial statements that growth in its packaging business is slowing, partly because big shippers have shifted volume away. All right, that's a wrap on the business news headlines for today. Make sure you check out our Twitter feed to keep up to date with the latest information coming out of Wall Street. We post that on a regular basis at IOB_NewsHour. Where you're just a click away from Jeff Pitts and Trevor Babcock from City View Magazine. They've got stuff to do in the metro this weekend into next week, and happy Friday.